Yesterday on the front page of the GR Press, big news.
Mm-hmm.
Bozo's Big Top is closing down.
Yep, it's coming down.
What was that all about, winners?
Well, TV 13 is finally going to cancel the show after a 33-year run.
33 years.
Yep, and there's a nice, very nice article about it and the history behind the show. And I guess I was amazed that, you know, over the years there have been like 100 different local mm-hmm. Bozos, and they're down to just two now. Here in Grand Rapids at TV 13 and also at WGN over in Chicago. And yep. That's it.
And Dick Richards has been there for those 33
yes,
years.
He has.
And on a personal note, when I was a baby DJ back in, like, 1972, I was working over there because Channel 13 at the time had a radio station.
Right.
Right.
Which is now W Lights Frequency.
Right.
And Dick Richards was there, and he could not have been nicer to me. He was just a pleasant, fun guy to be around, and he didn't have to be.
He really didn't know you very well, did he?
I fooled him. I was scamming even back in 72. But he was awful nice to me, and I always appreciated that. And we've got him on the phone right now.
Yes,
hi, Dick.
Do.
You were scamming me? Hey, the show's not been canceled. My credit cards have.
How are you?
I feel well this morning. I you know, it's interesting that you've been talking about the newspaper article. Was mm-hmm. there one yesterday? Because I have not seen the paper yet.
Really?
No. Well, yesterday we taped our regular show. We normally tape it on Mondays, mm-hmm. but they switched it yesterday just to Tuesday for one day.
Mm-hmm.
They had some other things doing at Channel 13. And then right from there at the end of the show, around 4:30, quarter to 5, got cleaned up, and we had a rush down to Old Cat. I do some fill-in work, part-time work for them, and so we were the public address announcer
uh-huh.
there for the game last night. And so I didn't get home out here to Kentwood. Everybody lives in Kentwood, you
absolutely.
Know.
Absolutely.
Till about 10:30, and you know, that's too late for me, so I go quickly to sleep. So, and I didn't read it this morning yet, so there's an article about it. No,
oh,
kidding.
Very nice
yeah.
article. Very
I have
nice
not
article.
Read the article, but I know there was an article.
There's two color pictures right on the front page.
You know, I used to live next door to me, too.
Oh, you were listening. Dick, I'm telling you, I've run into more people that said, hey, we live two doors down from this guy. I mean, everybody apparently has lived near you.
You know, that's amazing, because when we got here, we were, let's see, 1965, we got here in March, and from a radio station in Western Illinois that I was working at, a small 5,000-watt daytimer, you know.
Sure.
That would be in the evenings, by like 5 o'clock in the afternoon in winter, you're off the air already. But we got here in 65. Worked at a local radio station, WJFM, which mm-hmm. is now, you know, gone on to be another station. We stayed a couple of days in the old Pantland Hotel, which
yep.
was, you know, down there, downtown, now part of the Amway. And then we got an apartment on Michigan Street. We rented that, my wife and daughter and I, for about 5 years. We moved to Kentwood in 70. We rented a duplex for about 4 years. And then we built the house we're living in Kentwood now in 74. So, you know, 25 years. So in that span of 34 years, it's only been three places I've lived. All these people. There must have been a lot of people around the houses. All these, I get that too, you know. I used to be your paper boy, you know. I brought your
I'll
bills
bet.
To your house too and
now,
stuff like that.
Now, Dick, seriously, my husband says he used to live right by you. And
there we go.
He said that you used to mow your lawn and you'd either wear your shoes or your wig. I can't remember what he told me when you were out mowing your lawn.
What
is that
is your
true?
Husband taking these days?
Prozac.
No, I just go out there. I'm an everyday type guy out here. In Kentwood, you can do that, right, Rick?
Oh, absolutely.
I go out there in my, you know, just a pair of shorts and an old New York Rangers T-shirt, Yankees baseball cap. And at one time when I was smoking those cigars, which I have not for many years now, but, I guess everybody has lived next door to somebody, and it's got to be me.
Dick, years ago, and maybe this is still a rumor, but I heard the rumor that you don't have a driver's license because you grew up in New York.
I don't
you
even
just
have a marriage license.
No, is that true? Do you have a driver's license or not?
No, I haven't driven since, I think, let's see, who was in office? Ike Eisenhower.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Really?
Yeah, I just don't drive. I'm a New Yorker and, you know, I was born and bred in Brooklyn and
right.
lived there for many, many years back in the 40s
really?
And 50s. And you went right from there, came out to the Midwest and married
yeah.
a beautiful, sexy woman. And she's been my driver ever since.
Well, that was a story that I had heard. And I found it hard to believe
wow.
that you didn't have a driver's license.
No, don't drive. I mean, I can drive.
Right.
But I just don't like it. I guess it was that New York influence where there's
yeah.
the mass media. You know, you got the taxis, you got
right.
the subways, you got this, you got that. So you're in the Long Island Railroad. You
mm-hmm.
don't need it, you
right.
know.
Right.
And so I just never, not to this day, haven't driven. I just And I turned 60 last year. I'll be 61 in a couple of months.
No
and
kidding.
Still without that driver's license. But I do have one of those little Michigan IDs.
Now, Dick, when you started here, you were ringmaster first, and Bill Merchant was Bozo, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
What are your thoughts on Bill Merchant? What was he like?
Well, he usually liked bourbon.
That's what I heard.
Well, it was so odd because, I was working in the radio station on the 10th floor, and then we joined Channel 13 in January of 67, so I moved from the 10th floor down to the right to the ground level where 1913 restaurant is now that used to be our studios. And I joined him in January, and within 2 or 4 months, it was either March or May, the program director, and a fellow who I think you remember, Russ Boston, was the program director, asked me to join the show and play the role of Mr. Ringmaster, because the guy that was playing it, and he has since, I think, also passed away, too. His name was Gary DeHaan, and they asked me to play the role, and then I said, fine, because Bill, I think, liked this other guy, so he was kind of just a little bit, shall we say, standoffish with me, just a little bit
really,
at the beginning.
A little bit, huh?
Well, only because his good buddy was the ringmaster, But we developed a great friendship, and it worked well, and Bill was a super talent, one of the best in this market.
What did he die of?
I think it was either emphysema or some other problem. He ended up in upstate New York at a radio station. He got back to morning radio, and he even did the Granny Groove routine on the radio, which one of the characters he used back when he worked here in the rock and roll stations. But I think it was emphysema or something like that. And he passed away, I heard you mention, like about 5 or 7 years ago. It was the early 90s, But he's gone, and the fellow played Ringmaster, and Buck Berry, and Bob Bell, who played the WGN Chicago originally.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So what does that tell me? I'm going to be on your little thing there with the Death Watch. If I don't
what are your thoughts on the whole 33-year run? Are you sad? Are you glad over the whole experience?
It's like, I guess the best word to use is bittersweet, because we knew about this about a year ago. We met with the program, the operations manager and the general manager of the station, and she informed us, Janet Mason, they were going to wrap up the show, but that they wanted to continue the character, and it would still be under the control of Channel 13. So we knew about it a year ago, and in one respect, it's a little bit difficult, because you work on a show. I've been on that show for 32 and a half years of the 33, and playing the role for over 30 years. Mm-hmm. I started in December of 68. It's very sad in that respect, and when we first learned about it, and also because there's great memories and all the work we did on the show, I think, with the groups and organizations, the fun times, and it was a blast. But in the other aspect, it was more fun in the old days, you know, back in the 60s and 70s, even the early 80s, and I left Channel 13 as a full-fledged employee in the spring of 86. That's been more than 13 years ago.
Wow.
So, and the show in the past 10 years, I really had nothing to do with it other than the talent aspect. But, I mean, the original, the format of the show, the production, the content, that was all handled by Channel 13, and there were decisions made which I may or may not have agreed with, but I had no say to it until after, you know, I was informed of we're going to drop this or put this and et cetera. So that's why I think that's the other side of it, that I'm sort of glad it's wrapping up. And, you know, we've had a great run, and it's been fun, but it's a good time to wrap it up after 33 years.
You know, I was on that show when you were still doing the Ringmaster role.
Ringworm.
And it was back in... It was back when it used to be on from 4 to 5 in the afternoon.
Mondays through Friday,
Monday through Friday, right. And now that there are only the two TV bozos, are there any other licensed bozos out there, or is it just the two of you now?
Well, as far as TV shows go, Scotty, I think you're right. That's just WGN and the show here. Larry Harmon's always looking for them, but I don't think you'll ever see that aspect of local television any longer. I mean, that's something, you know, we're a bit of a dinosaur local children's program,
right,
as we mentioned in the article. It's just something you will rarely see. You can put on a syndicated show, and of course now with the 24-hour Cartoon Network and Nickelodeon and all those networks, it's very difficult to put something like that on again and make any kind of money, or at least even get any viewership, because with cable and with satellite, et cetera, local TV stations, I would think, have it very difficult going into the new century.
Now, Dick, I used to watch you on Eyewitness at Noon.
That was a fun
show. That was a fun show, and I want to ask you, who were your favorite celebrities that came on that show with you? Do you have any recollections of some real fun ones?
You know, Ricky, it was the old-timers always got to me, maybe because I am old myself, or at least getting there. You know,
I'm with you.
we sat down on a park bench right by the Jerry Ford Museum and interviewed Perry Como when Perry was in town back in the 80s. We had Red Skelton. He was on about three or four times because he always came to Blue Lake Fine Arts Camp. He was probably the best. And you talk the consummate pro. I mean, he was so great. Mickey Rooney was a toughie. I interviewed him once, but he would start off by saying, "What's your name?" I said, "Dick Richards." He said, "Okay, Dick, what's your first question going to be?" And he said, "Okay." And the minute I said the question, he went right into it, and he would take over for like 15 minutes of conversation.
Really? Really?
And you couldn't get a word in edgewise. And I've heard that about him. He's a tough interview.
And I'll tell you, the one that I remember that you had a great time was with Jimmy Dean.
Oh, yeah. This was, in fact, I think, boy, the very early 70s, about 26, 27 years ago, in 72, 73, something like that, Jack Hogan and I were doing the show, and Jack was doing the news at the top of the show, and Dean comes up, and he puts a chair over his head as he's doing the news. I mean, here's a guy talking about death and, you know, earthquakes or something like that, and, you know, and Dean was bizarre, you know, but we had a lot of fun in those days with the shows, and it was all live, too, for the most part.
I think you threw one of his sausages, like a big roll of his sausage, like off the set.
Smelly.
Yes. Yeah, so this one smells bad. You throw it.
I wouldn't touch a Jimmy Dean sausage with your paycheck. I remember something like that, but it was probably good sausage. Yeah. Then we had the one and only Morgana, the kissing. Remember the baseball?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Kissing bandit. I don't know if she's still around or what age she is now, God love her, but we had more people outside the control room watching that interview. I don't know why.
I'll bet.
And most of the men. Yeah. I don't know why.
What's the craziest thing a kid ever did on your show?
Well, you know, I get that question asked many times over the years. I don't know if we can say the child, him or herself, but the one time we had the craziest show was when it was during the month of June. And the set was larger in those days because right now we're down just a little portion of the studio because of all the news is so big in the new set. Well, we had the gal come in from the National Dairy Council, the Michigan Dairy Council, and she brought a cow in with her because June is dairy month. And the cow proceeded to do what cows sometimes do. And, you know, splat all over the gallery and
man.
Boys and girls and even Bozo's pants. As for children, you know, the majority have been good. I heard you talking earlier about how some days you might get to a point where you can't tolerate. I've never really had too much of that problem, and if it does get a little bit difficult, either at the studio or personal appearances outside the studio, there's always someone to handle it for me. Like in the studio, usually one of the camera guys or the studio supervisor or the floor director, I'll say, you know, little Jimmy over there at Barber's giving us a hard time making it difficult for the other kids. So he or she will go over there, or the parent will get one of the parents to do that.
Yeah.
But I've had not very few problems. I would say out of the years, 99.9 have been good kids. You get that one bad apple, you know, but most of them have been great. And boy, how many guys can say they've played an international character for over 30 years other than Dan Quayle? I mean, you know.
And I'm just jealous because Rick got to try on the wig and the shoes.
I heard about that.
I didn't want to tell you that.
We still want to bill him for all those toys. We lost more toys in the 70s.
And one more thing. What are your personal recollections or feelings about Jerry Lewis?
I love Lewis. I love Jerry. I mean, I first saw him, I think it was either late 40s or around 50, 52 when he first appeared. He and Dean, rest his soul, on the Dean Martin, on the Ed Sullivan Show. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they had the old Colgate Comedy Hour on NBC. But I grew up with him in his movies, and I thought he was super then. And then over the years, you know, you saw him a little bit, you know. But then starting working with him back in the late 60s and early 70s, we used to have these conventions where we go out for all the children's television show hosts with kid show hosts to go out to either Los Angeles or Las Vegas or somewhere and meet. And it would be great. You'd see like a couple of hundred of these people come in, and some would wear their costumes, you know, the cowboys and cowgirls or some of the different clowns. I never brought the Bozo stuff there, but and it was great because you'd have all these people walking around in these different costumes and stuff. Crazy, bizarre people. But that since has gone because the amount of local children's television shows, you know, finally just got down to zero, literally, around the country. But Lewis, to me, here's a guy, he's probably around 73, 74 right now. He's been with muscular dystrophy for about 50 years, and his dream is, in his lifetime, God willing, to find this cure for the muscular dystrophy problem. And but, you know, there's a lot of people like him, a lot of people that dislike him, but I still say for a guy that's got a certain certain thing going for an activity like him and for this battle against neuromuscular disease, you can't put anybody down because of that.
Settle a question for us. Rick and I were arguing earlier about what color is the wig? Is it orange or is it red?
It's sort of a red orange.
No, you're no help.
A politician. That no, it is sort of a orangey reddish. You know, it's like close to it. You flip a coin. I don't know. But it was amazing when you were saying about the old Pantland Hotel, because when 13 began in 62, the station was there. Or when the station began, pardon me, in 62, they ran it from there till 71. They moved up to Alpine and 3 Mile in 71. Because Leslie, you were saying you were on the show in the later 70s, of course. So that was at Alpine and 3 Mile. But we were there till 71, and we moved about 27, 28 years ago there, the station has. And when Rick started in 72, boy, that place went downhill.
Gee, thanks, Dick.
No, I'm just being serious.
Hey, well, listen, you're always going to have a special place in the hearts of West Michigan. And you've been a terrific broadcaster and an old friend to a lot of people around here. And you're not going away, just the show's going on.
Well, that's the key. A lot of people say, you know, is it the, you know, you're retiring? I get more people ask me. I said, no. In fact, we're working more nowadays in the sense that we still have the caricature. It's just the once-a-week thing, and the personal appearances are still bigger and stronger than ever. In fact, when WGRD has an activity for family and, you know, kids, if you want us out there, you let me know.
We'll call Bozo.
You call Bozo. And plus, you know, we're still doing occasional radio and TV commercials and speaking engagements and working for the Whitecaps and even doing a little part-time work at a local video store, Video Master, not the other name you mentioned before with a B.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, it keeps you active, and at the age of almost 61, I ain't ready to give up yet.
Well, you sound still ready for it, you know? You
it's
really
the
do.
Ovaltine. It's the Ovaltine.
It's the Ovaltine with the Geritol, huh?
We will be out there to see you on Monday.
And
I won't miss this.
And maybe you'll get to put the shoes on.
Okay.
Good talking with you guys.
Hey, thanks, Dick.
Rick, good to see you again, buddy.
You too, bud.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There he is. Dick Richards.
Yep. Hmm.
Good man.
Yeah, he is.
Yep, had the hair and the shoes on. I don't think I could find the nose. But I got nervous.
Well, he probably doesn't want everybody wearing the nose.
I'm sure he doesn't.
Yuck.
He doesn't want anyone wearing it.
Well, thank you, Dick, for talking to us this morning.